What's up, guys? Today on Sports Spectrum, I'm really excited for this conversation with Liberty head softball coach Dot Richardson. Buckle up is all I got to say, because she's one of the most decorated softball people, not just players, ever, right? She's the Liberty University head softball coach, but in college, she was at UCLA. She was on the team to win their first ever NCAA championship in 1982 at UCLA. Goes and gets an MD degree, becomes a doctor, the University of Louisville School of Medicine in 1993. And then in 1996 and 2000, she's on the USA Olympic softball team that wins the gold medal, including that 96 team that was the first Team USA club to ever win a gold medal in softball. That was in Atlanta. And then she just goes into this career as a doctor and executive director at the National Training Center in Florida. And ultimately, God pivots her into becoming the head coach at Liberty, a calling, as she calls it, to be the head coach at Liberty. And have they ever done quite the thing, I'll just say, in softball at Liberty. And listen, in the last six full seasons, they've won at least 40 games. She's taken Liberty to two NCAA regionals. In 2023, Liberty eliminated number two UCLA and Grand Canyon to make a regional final for the third time in program history and set the program single season record for wins over top 25 teams with four. The accolades go on and on. She was the NCAA player of the decades in the 1980s. But more important than all of those things, Dot Richardson is a devout follower in love with Jesus. And you can just sense that. I think the whole conversation was pretty much centered around Christ, which I love. I did ask her one question about, particularly specifically about softball and who she thinks the greatest softball player that she's ever seen is. But man, the Lord is in this conversation. Can't wait for you to hear it with Dot Richardson from Liberty. It's coming up in just a moment here on Sports Spectrum. Real quick, just want to remind you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can subscribe right now over at sportsspectrum.com. Faith-filled, family-friendly, clean content, perfect for kids, perfect for those young people who are interested in sports, and a great way to show them the athletes and coaches who love Jesus and what they're doing to honor the Lord. You can subscribe today over at sportsspectrum.com. Use the code PODCAST15 when you check out, and you'll get an additional 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. Again, subscribe today over at sportsspectrum.com. It's faith-filled, it's family-friendly, it's clean content. You don't want to waste your time. You want to subscribe today. And if you want to get it for the kiddos, this makes the perfect gift for them as well. Subscribe today over at sportsspectrum.com. It is great to have Dot Richardson. She's the head softball coach at Liberty University joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. Hi, Dot. How are you?
Hello, Jason. I'm just so blessed. Let me tell you that.
That's a good answer. I like hearing that. I am too. And it's going to be a great conversation. I'm excited to talk to you here on the show today. Let's start with the most important thing, and that is Jesus. Tell me about Christ in your life. Maybe share a little bit about your testimony and the importance of Jesus in the life of Dot Richardson.
Well, I unapologetically proclaim Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's one of the reasons I'm coaching, actually, is that I've been led here at Liberty University, the largest Christian university in the world, where we're training champions for Christ. That is what really interests me. I knew as a young girl that God had given me a gift in athletics, and I knew it because I loved it so much. It was so natural. But also with it came the trials and tribulations, right, that are promised in this world. It's a fallen world, right? And those trials and tribulations were, I was not allowed to play any organized sports for the simple fact that I am a girl. And so girls didn't have organized sports. And so when I was growing up, the boys didn't have a problem with me. I mean, Jason, like, they picked me first for pickup games after school, all of that. But society made it perfectly clear that too bad I'm a girl and good at sports, you know, only boys are allowed to play. So I just would say my prayers at night, Heavenly Father, why'd you give me this talent with no opportunities? And I share that because when I look back, as a lot of us will look back in our lives and we'll just say, man, the Lord brought me through that, right? Or God has answered that. I knew those were words of a child. Like, we don't know what the future holds. And in fact, the Bible even says that prophecy is a testimony of Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
The Bible is what, 28% of prophecy, and God is telling us, right? He's telling us what, you know, is going to happen and what has happened. And, you know, I can go on and, about that, right? But I think the big thing for me was just trusting. And I would encourage all listeners, just trust the gifts that God has given you. Get to your point in your life where you're just not just going to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried 3 days later, rose again to overcome death, so we can have eternal life with him. It's, think about when, as you get to that point and you're believing in Jesus Christ, I just want to encourage you to truly live it out, right? Like, trust him. And I learned that when all of a sudden I'm 10 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was really good at baseball. My brother got a brand new catcher's mitt. He asked me to break it in before his little league game. And while I was doing so, one of the coaches of another little league team that had just got done playing saw me throw. And he came over and said, how would you like to play on my little league baseball team? And that was my dream. I wanted to be a major league baseball pitcher. And next thing you know, he said, well, we're going to have to cut your hair short and give you a boy's name. We call you Bob.
Wow.
So in order for me to play, I would have had to disguise myself as a boy. Wow. But just the belief, I don't know, and trusting in the Lord is like, as much as I wanted it. Right, Jason? How much in this world do we want something so badly?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we might even hide who we really are. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like, sir, thank you, but no, thank you. If I have to hide who I am, I just don't feel it's right.
Wow.
And what was the little reward 30 minutes later? A women's fast pitch softball team saw me throwing a baseball right in their practice field, big slow pitch field, and asked me to be a part of their team, the Union Park Jets. Hmm. So even though I was 10 years old, the average age of that team was probably 22. And my softball career began. And the next year, Title IX came into effect in our neighborhood. And the friend of mine that was playing baseball catch with me, she became the first girl ever to play Little League in our neighborhood. And I share that because God's timing is perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. And 3 years later, became the youngest girl to play women's major ball with the Orlando Rebels. And average age of that team was probably 25, 26. And the rest you could say is part of the evolution of women in sport and has been a part of history.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot there. I want to unpack and certainly go through your journey even more as you get to UCLA and become a doctor. Like, there's so many different aspects to your journey, Dot, that is fascinating, I think, to me, to watch how God's sort of woven this tapestry of your life. You mentioned very young, you knew the Lord, it sounds like. Was there ever a struggle in your faith as you realized you were pretty darn good at sports? You just see that a lot, that tension of identity in sports versus identity in Christ. And for young people, that's a battle. Was that a battle for you?
Well, I would say there never was me denying Christ, but there was distractions. And let me tell you, that's how Satan works.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's so easy to get distracted by the goals that you want and that you set as an athlete, right? So I found myself more in the competitive mode as opposed to bringing Jesus along with me. I mean, he's still in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. But, you know, the distractions of, you know, you're at college and you're studying and deciding what you want to do in the future and all these things. And so there was, you know, just that distraction. I look back and there wasn't a purposeful communication with the Lord as much, right? It was kind of like, well, I'm saved, right? The Holy Spirit's in me, and I'm just going to do these things, right? The worldly things. But for me, it never was about, you know, I always wanted to honor the Lord. And I'd like to say, you know, we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. I never worshiped the idols of gold medals or championships at all. You know, Jesus has always been with me, but my relationship with him could have been a lot stronger as opposed to the distractions of competing at the highest level collegiately and internationally.
But yet those success, the successes that you had, certainly UCLA, lots of success there, and then the gold medals that you mentioned, those are great avenues and platforms in some cases to point people to Jesus. Did you see that? Did you recognize that as those things were happening?
I did. And the creative way that you do it in the secular world, you know, you have to look at that as hopefully you end up living it out where people see something is different, right, in you. But to get bold and proclaim it is really where we all want to be. And, you know, winning, just being a part of the Olympic team, winning the gold medals, all of that, I would never hesitate to say what I welcomed you with, you know, is in your audience is God has given us amazing gifts and opportunities. And just want to encourage all of us to get to know him more. And the only way to do that is to get in his word, right? To study, take the time to get closer and understand, to get your questions answered. And that's the exciting part, right? Is just getting to know him more. And that's one thing that I have grown so much in, you know, later in life, in that it wasn't just, okay, I'm saved. It was like, no, live it out. Like the book of James, right? James says, you know, make sure your works are those where people look and say, it doesn't lead to your salvation, but you're a change, you're reborn, you're totally different. I always felt that way though, even when I was younger, you know, I did. I remember at 6 years of age, my best friend, little Mike, he's like five, and I got my first Bible. Mom and Dad gave me that children's Bible, you know, the big one, brown cover. And oh, yeah. I was reading about King Solomon and the two women, right, that claimed the baby as their own and his wisdom. Well, let's cut the baby in half. And of course, the real mother was like, no, just the wisdom that he had. I remember reading that story to him and, you know, just, I mean, there's just a peace and a joy in your life and a, and I just, I want to make sure that we can share that with as many people as possible.
We're talking to Dot Richardson here on Sports Spectrum, Liberty University head softball coach. You also mentioned the Olympic experience. I got to ask you about that because that's the first ever Olympic gold medal for Team USA in the Olympics in 96. I believe that's Atlanta. Describe that experience for us. What was that like?
Well, I have to go a little deeper with that answer.
Please.
Because when I was 7 years old, I watched the Olympics for the first time in my life, and it was on TV. Black and white, I'm watching, and there is a pole vaulter. Goes over the bar, lands on the mat, the momentum brings him up, and he sees the bar hadn't fallen. And his arms reach up into the air, right? Because he realized he'd captured the Olympic gold medal. And then the cameras are scanning everyone in the Coliseum, and they're chanting, USA! USA. Jason, that night I went to bed and I had a dream.
Wow.
And in that dream, I saw myself and a team, right, on a podium, bending over, an Olympic gold medal was put around my neck.
Incredible.
That's when I was seven. 27 years later, in Atlanta, Georgia, there we were, the United States Olympic softball team in the first Olympics ever to host our sport of fast pitch softball. We're standing on the gold medal podium. And when I bent down, an Olympic gold medal was put around my neck. And instantly I knew I was living that dream I had as a 7 year old girl that was with me for 27 years. And the most ironic thing about it is when I stood up amongst all of the thousands of people there, you know, in our stadium, straight ahead of me was my mom and my dad. Mm. And they were the ones who believed and saw the gifts that God had given me. And my mom has been like, she's the rock, right? I mean, she knows the Lord. She loves the Lord. She is like, I saw it when I was younger. It's not just about words, right? It's your actions, caring for other people, right? The servant heart, right? The servant heart,
yeah,
of God's followers, right? And so for me, it was just, I'd asked mom when I was little, I said, why can't I play Little League? Why can't I play baseball? And she said, because when you strike out all the boys, the parents are going to have a problem dealing with it. Like she knew there was something special. And imagine allowing a 10-year-old to play on a team where the average age is 22, and then a couple years later to play on a women's major team traveling throughout the country, right? The highest level in our sport that you can go. And the average team age was 25, 26 of the Orlando Rebels. And they believed and they trusted. And, I just bless the Lord for, the parents that he gave me.
And in the midst of this, I don't know if a lot of people know this. I did not know this until I went and dug deeper into your story. I don't know why I didn't know it. But in the midst of softball, you're also becoming an orthopedic surgeon? Tell what is going on there? I feel like you're living two different worlds during those years. It's
And I
fascinating.
think God definitely knows me pretty well. Like I probably a little ADHD, whatever. I mean, I love to do different things, and I love to try and be the best I can be at all of it. Because there's a show, if anyone has not seen it, you have to watch it, Chariots of Fire. And there's one of the favorite lines in it is when there were a brother and a sister, right? The brother is going to the Olympics in track, and he's supposed to be going to China and missionary work. And his sister comes over to him and says, look, you're not doing what the Lord is calling us to do, and blah blah blah. And he's like, yes, I am, because listen, I said, I will meet you in China. I will be a part of this ministry. He says, however, I have to tell you, God has made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. That is like, that's how I feel. Like, I just feel his pleasure. And how do you do that? It's because you know that he is our source, right? He's the source of all the gifts that we've been given, right? And Jesus said, you're either for me or against me, not lukewarm. So, everybody, what team are you on? Are you on the fallen creature, Satan's side? Or are you in the creator? Are you on Jesus's team? And we all know what the end results is. And if you're like, well, I don't know, get into the word. God has told us, right? We are actually, Jason, we're living in biblical times right now. I mean, it's like, it's all prophesied, it's in the Bible, and we could be the generation that is experiencing and going to be a part of the rapture, the tribulation. The millennial will be a part of the millennium, the millennial kingdom. And just, it's like happening. It's like, it's so exciting.
I love it. I love that you're talking like this because it gives me joy to know. Like, I really resonate with what you just said. And I've seen Chariots of Fire, but it was a long time ago. And it's a nice reminder to know that we can find joy and pleasure in the Lord, in the gifts that He's given us to do. Even just this conversation, right? Like, I can say, thank you, Lord, that you've given this opportunity for me to talk to Dot on Sports Spectrum. It's just a beautiful thing to bask in. I just wonder for you, when you're navigating these worlds, right? The doctor world, the softball world, and you're kind of doing both at the same time a little bit. I know you took some time off to go and pursue the Olympics, but when does it resonate with you? You said it at the very beginning, actually, that this is a calling to be the head coach at Liberty. So something happens and you shift into this coach mode for 2013 when Liberty comes calling. Can you take us through that decision and what that means and what that experience was like to see God place a call on your life and to be able to walk through that?
Well, when I got my master's degree from Adelphi University, it was medical school, right? Or coaching. Because getting my master's, I was coaching as an assistant coach, and I fell in love with it. And what did I love about it? I love the sport, but also to impact lives, right? And to do it in positive ways. And I think Billy Graham said it, a coach is going to impact more people in 1 year than people will in a lifetime, right? But I got accepted to a number of medical schools. I felt that was where I needed to go. And I went to the University of Louisville Medical School. Then the day that I was handing over my match list to find out, where I'd be for the next 5 years of my life in orthopedic surgery was the day they announced softball in the Olympics for the first time in Olympic history for 96. And this was, you know, you're talking 93. And so I was like, I almost didn't want to let go of the paper, right? Like, how hard is it for us to let go of the temptations, right? The sin in our lives.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and just trust. And I was like, okay, Lord, it's in your hands. And I actually didn't think I would be able to be a part of that first Olympic team. And because getting into orthopedic surgery is not easy. It's yeah. not an easy residency to get into. But, I got in USC, Southern California. That was another blessing. You guys are so much I can share. Like the Olympic year, it just so happened the year before an orthopedic residency program in Tampa had folded. And so my class, of all the five-year classes of my class, we had an extra resident to make it 13 instead of 12. So when I was given a year leave of absence to go for my childhood dream of Olympic gold, it didn't add a burden to anyone because now there were still 12, right? I just got goosebumps thinking of the 12 disciples, right? But 12.
So cool. Yeah, so right? cool.
The chosen 12. But
of course.
The point was that I felt good about that. And I look at everything in my life and just say, what is God teaching me here? You know?
Yeah.
And there's always a lesson. And with each lesson, it brings you closer to him. And that was one where I was like, when I was given that year leave of absence, my first thought it was, what if I don't make the team? Right? And I'm going to miss a year of my residency. But then I was like, no, God's got a plan and I just got to trust it. And I made the team. And the rest you could say is history, is we're there, you know, capturing that Olympic gold medal. And then a whole nother story, 4 years later, between my orthopedic residency and my fellowship, right? I was able to finish my fellowship in time to go for the 2000 Olympics, which again, it takes a village, right?
Of course.
God surrounded me with people that supported me and all of these things. And then we won the second gold medal in Sydney. And then Bob and I got married. And I say, you know, my husband, Bob, it was like, wasn't it weird? This is why I know God has a sense of humor. Because remember when I was younger and I was throwing a baseball and the Little League coach said, we're going to have to give you a boy's name.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to call you Bob. And I married a Bob.
That's right.
I mean, serious, Jason. I mean, come on. I mean, like, God, you are so amazing, right?
Another God wink. Yeah, I love those.
Yes, yes.
Those are amazing.
He's so intimate, right? And yeah. He knows our inner thoughts and our needs. But anyway, so Bob and I got married and at Disney World, actually.
Nice.
And Twice. So we started our life in Central Florida in Claremont, right outside of Orlando.
Sure.
And it was awesome. I started my practice and I became an executive director of the National Training Center, a 300-acre sports health and education campus. And life was great. I mean, I'm going on 12 years, right, being this executive director, and there was a change in the CEO. So because of Obamacare, the not-for-profit hospital was like, okay, what do we do with this sport entity, right? Like, it could look like it's for-profit.
Yeah.
So a consultant said, take each of those venues that you have, right? The Olympic pool and the multipurpose fields, the track, cross country, and the softball field, which I was able to raise money for, right? To have it in an interlocal agreement to have it built. Give those to not-for-profits to run them. And so I got called into the office and I was given my termination notice from my current position. But I was also, and right away I was like, okay, God, what do you have in store?
Yeah. What's next? What's the pivot?
Yeah. Like, what gets you out of your comfort zone is something that's going to be so dramatic. But within seconds, when you wonder, you're shocked. And then you're like, okay, God, what is it? Well, all of a sudden they said, form a not-for-profit, which I had. and we're going to give your not-for-profit this softball facility. And then I was like, okay, Lord, am I to get back in medicine, right? Practicing? What is it? This is going to blow you away. You
Can't
ready?
wait. Yeah, I'm ready.
I was asked to run for mayor.
Wow.
Then I was asked to run for county commissioner. And when I told the group who approached me about that, I was interested. They said, Dot, if you like politics, we want to support you to run for U.S. Senate for the state of Florida in 5 years.
Holy cow.
So guess what? God wants me in politics, right? I mean, come on,
You would think.
right? So I gave it to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, how can I serve you more? You already have me. I have you. But whatever remaining time I have on this earth, use me. Whatever it might be. If it's politics, whatever, I'm all in. But make it perfectly clear. And you ask us to pray that way.
Yes.
This is going to freak you out. 9:30 the next morning, I get a phone call out of the blue from the athletic director from Liberty University. He said our previous softball coach is retired. We're looking for a coach who can replace him, who has a name in the game, who can bring some instant credibility to the program. And I was like, well, sir, first, where's Liberty University?
Right. Yeah, you're in Florida.
Right? Lynchburg, Virginia, in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And you ready for this? The largest Christian university in the world. Got my attention. The prayer the night before. Are you kidding me? Right?
Make it clear. Yeah.
Yes. And I was, he, I, well, to put Liberty softball on the map, what does that mean to you, sir? And he said, top 25 in the nation consistently, and Lord willing to win World Series championships with an S. And we want to build a stadium and we'd like for you to design it, even if you don't take this position.
Wow.
And I said, sir, I am humbled by this opportunity, but you may not realize this. I have never head coached in college before. And are you ready for this? He said, well, we realize that, but we feel the Lord is leading us to you.
Holy cow. Goosebumps. Goosebumps.
And then you go and talk to your husband, and he is like, we got to do this, right? The
Yes.
Lord is leading this.
Yeah.
So we came to this humble campus at the time and just felt this peace that the Lord promises us when we're doing his will, right? Just peace that transcends all understanding. And accepted the job. And let me tell you, Jason, there was a double wide trailer for our office, locker room, umpire room. I mean, the field was a like a rec field, but just felt the Lord is going to move in mighty ways. And the first week that we were here, I got called into a conference room, and there were architects, engineers, contractors, and said, "Coach, what do you want in a stadium?" They pretty much built it. Part B or part two of it was just completed, last year.
Wow.
Seven batting cages. I mean, 2,000 square foot team activity room, an amphitheater, team room. We've got film room, plenty of office space. In fact, you could put the double I trailer in here probably twice now. Everything is underneath, like Major League Baseball, the home locker room, the visitors, the training room, the umpire room, the war room for coaches, meeting room. It's just gorgeous. And we just got some accolades in regards to this the facility. But it's not about you guys, it's not about the things.
That's right. Yes. Want to make that clear.
I want to make it clear, it's about the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is about the belief that God is moving, that Jesus is anointing, if you will, the calling that he's placed on not just me, but others here at Liberty. You look at the pictures with Dr. Falwell and Dr. Towns and all of them just praying over this property. And I'm just getting tons of goosebumps. I mean, the story of Liberty University and just, God is moving and he's got me here for a reason. And I'm loving every minute.
That's right. Until he calls you away, I'm not going anywhere.
Exactly.
That's obviously a beautiful thing. And by the way, just so people know, you talked about perennial, if you want to call it, competitive team, like top 25, yep. Regionals, NCAA regionals, yep. Just 40 win seasons the last 6 full years. So like God has really provided this opportunity for you guys to be competitive and be in this space. I want to fast forward a little bit because for time purposes, we could talk for hours about all this, but I'm really fascinated with the idea that you can coach for Christ, if that makes sense. And you're at Liberty where you can be intentional about that. There was a video last year when you guys were facing Grand Canyon. It was in, I believe it was in the regionals in the NCAAs last year in the tournament. And I didn't see most of the game, but I saw this video pop up on social that really kind of took off. And it was basically you taking the lead in speaking life into Grand Canyon. And you guys were all surrounded, and Grand Canyon's a Christian school too, but you guys were surrounded, Grand Canyon and Liberty, about to pray together right after the game. And there was just this moment of intentionality about speaking life into them, but then lifting up the name of the Lord for both teams after the game. I'm just wondering, moments like that, the intentionality and the opportunities to honor the Lord after a game in softball, what is that like as a coach to know that, yes, softball is important, wins are great, you want to be the best, but this is about something bigger?
Well, again, even as a player, I said to myself, you know, if forget all the accolades, right? You know, forget all of this, whether it's gold medals, national championships, most valuable player awards, all of these things. For me, the greatest thing would be for somebody to be able to say, I played better with Dot on the field, right? Whether it's my teammates, and here's the catch, and opponents.
Right.
Because she was competitive, right? And believing, like believing in the gifts that I've been given, right? Because you could say, oh, I want to win. No, I want you to play your best. We're going to play our best. And for this game, let's see who comes on top. But I've learned just because you fail, it doesn't mean you're a failure. Just because you win, it doesn't mean you're better than anybody else, right?
Yeah.
So when we're after games together, and I invite everybody, our players do as well, to join us, right, in prayer of thanksgiving, right, and appreciation.
Yes.
It's beyond just a game, right? It's just to be able to compete. I was denied that opportunity. And that fueled it. You look at Saul becoming Paul.
Mm-hmm.
God saw what Saul had in him that God could use for his kingdom. Right?
Yeah.
And you never know who you're going to impact. For one little smile, one little hello, one little situation that you could have lost it. And most people might have, but you remained cool about it. Right? Because you want to glorify the Lord. And don't get me wrong, I am competitive, people. I mean, like, even Jesus flipped over tables. There's righteous anger, right?
That's right. Yes, of course.
Love God, love people, hate the sin, and hate the one who has allowed it connivingly to be in this world, to corrupt this world.
Yeah.
You know, nobody talks about Satan. Do you know what I mean? It's like, but also, we're not good, you know, as people, you know, we want to blame God for things, but we make poor choices ourselves, right? Adam and Eve made a decision, right? We all make these decisions and there are consequences by it. But I'll never forget when Patty calls me and says, Dot, this is my first year at Liberty and we are ranked RPI 276.
How many teams are there? Not too many more, right?
At first, I thought, well, that's halfway. No, there's only 296 at the time.
Oof.
That play Division I softball. There are only 20 worst teams in the country.
Wow.
Right? And Patty calls me and said, a team dropped out, Dot. She said, can you come to our tournament? I'm like, Patty, you're defending champions.
Talking about Patty Gasso, I presume.
Patty Gasso.
Oklahoma. Yep.
Right? Coach Gasso. And she goes, oh, come on. It'll be fun. I go, yeah, for who? Right? She says, come on. I'm like, all right, we're coming. One of the highlights of my life was that first half inning. Leadoff batter gets on, next batter gets up, our third batter hits a home three-run home run, and we're beating Oklahoma 3-0 in the first half inning. It didn't last very long, but it was a moment, right? Yeah,
of course.
And at the end, you know, we had welcomed all of them to come together, and we were praying around the pitching circle. And we're all now, our teams are going to our prospective dugouts. And as I'm going, a fan calls me over and says, "Doc, come over here." He goes, "I've never seen that. I've never seen that at OU." And he said, "And that is what I love," right? Praising the Lord after games.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me because that was 11 years ago, right? And look at how God is moving through not just Liberty, but a lot. I mean, look at, you know, Grace Lyons and what she has done at Oklahoma.
Incredible.
With her team, bringing them to Christ, a lot of players, to giving God the glory. I love that press conference. So talked about, you know, happiness comes and goes. It's right. Joy. Where do you get pure joy? It only comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
Pure joy, right? It's something deep that is given to you, the Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? Love, peace, kindness, joy, you know? So I look at that moment and even remember FSU, and they were really on fire and had leadership for Christ. And there's so many other, you know, Bible believers, right? Christ followers in sport. You know, look at football, right? Look
Beautiful.
What's happening now.
Yeah.
But people are getting more bold, and I want everyone to be excited about this. And if you're listening and wonder, what is she talking about? Or what are they talking about? Bible prophecy is telling us a lot that's happening is happening. It's going to happen. And it is just so many Christians being bold in their faith, right? Outspoken. And why? It's to bring more people to Christ. It's not by accident.
Right.
And I'm just excited to see that. And I'm so blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah. Standing firm. I love it. I love to see it. I love what Liberty is doing. I love what you're doing, Dot. Let me ask you one last question that's very softball centric and not sort of faith centric, but I thought it'd be fun because you were named the NCAA Player of the Decade in the 80s. And I'm just curious, because you've seen a lot of softball, can you pick one that you would say is the greatest softball player you've ever seen?
Okay. It really, well, this is hard because I've seen a lot of greats.
Yeah, I can think of names that come to my mind too, but I'm just going to let you choose who you think.
Well, those that I competed against, you know, or with, I would say Joan Joyce and Lisa Fernandez.
Okay.
Are the two tops that you know, they were able to do things that I'm never able to do, which is pitch and dominate pitching, but also offensively and defensively as, you know, position athletes.
Yeah.
So they would start, you know, Joan Joyce start at first and Lisa would start at third when she wasn't pitching. They both hit like third in the lineup. You know, I mean, they're just exceptional. But let me tell you this. I met Bertha Tickey, never saw her play, but I heard she's a legend. I saw Irene Shea, Sharon Backus, Willie Rose, Stephanie Tenney, Snooki Mulder. I mean, these are players that, unfortunately, a lot of people listening don't know their names. But these are the Babe Ruths, right? Yeah.
This is why I wanted to ask you this, because I knew you'd name some names that many of us may have not heard of, but they deserve to be honored.
Yeah, the Lou Gehrigs. I mean, Kathy Staley, Kathy Stillwell, you know, just legends. Swarthout. I mean, I could just, there are so many. And I'm so blessed that through my career, I can share that evolution of women in sport, just, you know, through the sport of softball. But, you know, in high school, I played volleyball, basketball, softball, track and field, and tennis. I played basketball 2 years at UCLA. One was JV. And then when my 4 years of softball eligibility was up, my fifth year, I played varsity when Jackie Joyner, now Kersey, right? When she tried out for the Olympic team, obviously, and made that in 1984. But I've been able to see so many legends in our game and through women in sport. I was sitting on the couch, the edge of my seat, watching Billie Jean King compete against Bobby Riggs.
Yes.
He was all mouthing off about how much, you know, women are inferior and how much he's going to beat her. And, you know, it was just, you know, I was just praying she'd win so I would get a chance to play.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
And how about Chris Evert? It was tennis that got on TV, you know, and I saw Chris Evert and I asked my mom and dad to buy me a Chris Evert racket. And I went out for the tennis team in high school, never played before, but watching it and being inspired by it.
Yes.
You know, like there's an impact that all of us can make. And in sport, whether you like it or not, you know, you're a role model either for good or for bad. Right. And there's a huge responsibility when you're on camera, you're on TV, you're doing these things, you're speaking. But I saw the first white cleats ever to be worn in our sport, the last wooden bat ever to be worn in our sport, or ever to be used in our sport. The first time scholarships were offered to women in sport, the transition from AIAW to the NCAA,
right,
for us to win the first NCAA championship, UCLA versus Fresno State, you know, to share, you know, I can't tell you, to be able to be chosen the outstanding senior athlete from junior college, junior high school, which would never have been given to a girl before, to sharing to now dividing male and female in high school.
Yeah.
You know, senior athlete of the year, to just sharing those awards, with just seeing the growth, the Title IX and the exposure, and 96 Olympics, they call it the Olympics of Title IX, because so many USA women's teams won gold medals. Yeah. Woo! I mean,
it's a lot. Yeah, it's great. Well, I think about my daughter who's now in college, but when she was 10 and getting into softball, Jenny Finch was her hero.
Yeah.
And we had Jenny on the show maybe 4 or 5 years ago when I had Sarah, my daughter, ask her a question, and she was so in awe because that was her hero, but that allowed her, she sees Jenny Finch and she says, I want to play softball. And so she played softball throughout high school and loved it. And that's, you're describing what I've seen personally happen in my daughter's life, which is just so cool. And I'm sure it's happened to so many other young ladies and girls all across the country.
You mentioned Jenny and, I mean, Natasha Watley, all these other, you know, really superstars, and a lot of them commentating right now, you know, Michelle Smith and others. And, you know, the big thing is there's a huge responsibility, but it's an inspiration. So the question is, are we going to fall into what Lucifer did, Satan, an anointed cherub, right? The Bible tells us how when his wings would expand, the light of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would go through the wings and radiate beautiful colors out into the host, the other angels that were there in worship. And they're worshiping God, but through he felt him, he was being worshiped.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
The fall, it's me. I'm a God. I'm going to be like God. You know, the fives, I will, I will, I will, I will. That's the temptation that we have in our lives. All these things that we've been able to accomplish, is it because we think we're so great? Or is it because God has given us the greatness to be great? To give him the glory.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a perfect place to end. And listen, we're going to be watching Liberty all throughout the rest of this season and excited for you, Dot. And can't wait to talk to you again. And I've said this multiple times. I need to make the trip and come down and hang out with you guys at Liberty. I've talked to coaches in basketball and football. And I just need to come down and spend like a week there. And just soak it all in. So hopefully soon, Dot. Hopefully soon.
Well, hopefully soon. Appreciate it, Jason. Thanks for thinking of myself and of Liberty. And
yeah, keep doing what you're doing.
Everyone listening, God loves you, right? He loves you so much. And we're all in this together.
That's beautiful. Thanks. Thanks so much, Dot.
God bless you. Thank you.
And many thanks to Dot Richardson for joining us here on Sports Spectrum. What a story she shares. And I'm just so thankful that she decided to say yes and come on our show today. What a wonderful, wonderful woman who loves Jesus. And she's doing great things with Liberty Softball. And just listen, she could coach my kid any day. If Sarah ever decided to play softball and wanted to go to Liberty, Dot Richardson as the coach would be perfectly fine with me. This is a woman who loves Jesus and just loves people. And I love this conversation. And I love Liberty too. So shout out to all my friends at Liberty University who are listening to today's show. We appreciate you all. We love you all. We hope you'll check out our website, sportsspectrum.com, for more content on the intersection of sports and faith, keeping Jesus in the sports conversation. You can also subscribe or follow on whatever podcast app you are listening to this show on right now. That way you don't miss any other episodes moving forward in conversations like today's with Dot Richardson. And this is a great time of year for sports, right? Spring is here. We got softball. We got baseball. It's just an awesome time of year. And I'm just excited that the weather's getting warmer as well, where I live up in the Northeast in Connecticut. But we love you guys. Like I said, I really do. Thank you for listening. Please do tell someone about Sports Spectrum. Just let them know that we exist. That helps get the word out. And ultimately, we all want to see ourselves decrease and see the increase in Christ take place through this show at Sports Spectrum. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time here on the show.